are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, 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 good.
Okay, good morning, everyone. So today we're going to veer off a little bit from our regularly scheduled program. This is part of a new small series that the Kollel is doing this summer. So the next piece will be next Monday night at Chovei with Rabbi Maizel. And the focus is to address the question of increased meaning and spirituality in the things that we're doing, in the mitzvahs that we're doing, in the Jewish life that we have. A.K.A. someone complained to me and said, you yeshiva boys, you don't know anything about spirituality. All you do is dry, soulless Torah. That wasn't exactly what they said, but that was basically what they said. And I don't study Kabbalah. I don't study the Zohar. I don't study Reb Chaim Vital. But I think that even without studying some of these primary sources in what we call Torah Sasod, which is far beyond my understanding, I think there's still a way to create a meaningful Yiddishkeit, in my humble opinion. So that's what we're going to try to do today in speaking about. Our goal for today is to speak about Shabbos, and we're going to reference several works. Some of them I have here on the table. I don't have source sheets, because much of what we're going to share today, I can't pinpoint for you exactly where I heard it or when I heard it, so the attribution will be to many teachers of mine. I first was exposed to the world of Machshava, to Jewish thought, from my Rebbe in Karen Biavna. His name is Rav Moshe Stav, who is a great scholar of Maharal and other Hasidic and influential Jewish, I don't want to say mystical, but Machshava and Torah Sasod as well. So that kind of opened my eyes a little bit to this idea. So I want to begin with something that I once mentioned before, and that is a little book that I picked up in a used bookstore from Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz called Simple Words, where he makes a very interesting suggestion. He suggests that we have to remember, we need to remind ourselves, that's this book here, that we are amphibians. That's what he says, that we are amphibians. Now, what is an amphibian? Right. Amphibians are creatures that are comfortable. They live both on land and on water. So he points out that on the one hand, we are physical beings, and we live in the physical world. But on the other hand, we also live in a spiritual world. So in that regard, he says we're like frogs. He says, we live in two worlds, the material and the spiritual. And his contention is that even though we like to say that the physical world that we live in, that's the quote-unquote real existence, but the truth is that the other world, the spiritual world, is no less real. Now, oftentimes people associate spirituality with like airy-fairy strange kinds of people, but his observation is about the concept of spirituality has nothing to do with ghosts and disembodied beings, but it has to do with thoughts, emotions, the ability to read music, to know that we exist. All those things are not physical. You can't put them on a table or on a plate, but they're absolutely real. We all know that they're real. So this is, I think, the first yisod that you think about when you're going through Judaism and life, is that we're living in two worlds, and we can't forget that. And we need to be constantly in tune with the fact that we're living in two worlds. And so much of what Judaism is supposed to be doing is to make us conscious of these two worlds. But just this, just like, in a certain sense, just like the physical world is here and it's real, and we develop it and we cultivate it and it exists, so too the spiritual realm itself. But if I would ask you, which is the more real of the two? So I'm not sure what people would answer. But in truth, if you think about it, the more real of the two is the spiritual world. Meaning, you take someone and you drop them off in a hospital, and you have the physicians in the hospital cut them up into 100 pieces and then put them back together, everything exactly as it was. What's the likelihood he's going to get off the table?
Zero,
right? Why? He's exactly the way he was yesterday. He looks exactly the same. He's missing one thing. He's missing his soul. Right, he's missing the spiritual spark that distinguishes between whether he's alive and whether he's not. So you can look exactly the same on the physical side, but in truth, the real, much of the realness, I'm sorry, we had to adjust the time a little bit because of the Tehillim this morning, much of the reality comes from the spirit, from the neshama. That's the mashal. Now, this idea of a spiritual world, it's constantly, so to speak, re-energizing, meaning we just explained that there is a physical world and there's a spiritual world, and the spiritual world is just as much real as everything else. But not only that, it's the spiritual world in a certain sense that gives life to everything. The same way that the patient on the table, if he doesn't have a soul, he's not going to get off, he's not going to live. The same way the whole world, if the world doesn't have a soul, so to speak, if it doesn't have spiritual energy, if it doesn't have godliness, it's not going to get off the table. And what's amazing is that we say in the pasuk, "Machadish betuvo b'chol yom tamid masa bereishis." God is constantly renewing the world. Well, what that means is the same way that, let's say, a patient comes into the office and his blood pressure, like that means that his blood is pumping, correct? There's blood going through the body. So let's say his blood pressure ceases; he doesn't pump any more blood. So how long is he going to last? Very long? Not very long, right? You have to constantly have the blood pumping. So the same way, in a certain sense, Hashem, God, the spirit, the neshama, the soul that creates all of this spiritual energy that enables the world to exist, just like the heart has to keep pumping, so that spiritual energy is always being invested in the world. Even right now, every second, every nanosecond. So, number one, there are two worlds, but number two, it's this mechanism of the spiritual world constantly needing re-energy, or it's the same way, I don't know how you describe that the blood always needs constant flow of oxygen, because without the oxygen it won't live. So too, the world also needs the constant infusion of spiritual energy. And you notice something very interesting, that this constant infusion of that which is spiritual, it's in a certain sense, it's like immortal. It never dies, never goes away. So it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, from the mass of the universe. God invests that on a regular basis. Every second, that's always being, we don't recognize it, but it's always constantly being recreated. But if you think about it, everything that exists that's physical, Maharal points out, is going to ultimately be subject to some form of decay. When you think about it, is there anything that's physical that can actually last forever? Have we ever found any material, anything, any chair, any human being, anything that doesn't somehow end at some point, doesn't cease to exist? Right? Even a metal, over time, it begins to rust.
Krypton.
Metal rusts, wood is going to be rotted away. There's nothing that exists in the physical world that's going to exist forever, as opposed to the spirit, and everybody knows this. This was one of the things that I can't figure out, now that I'm older, I can't figure out for the life of me. It's really one of the stupidest things that we ever tell people. We tell children, we tell them this, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt. That is the stupidest thing to tell kids. Because you know what? I can't remember when I broke my arm, but I remember when someone said something that hurt me inside. So why you would tell kids that it's worse to break their bones than to call them names, I don't know why. Because it's not true. Because when someone calls you a name, they're not hurting your guf, they're not hurting your physical entity, they're hurting your neshama, so to speak. Because your neshama is this spiritual spark, this intangible component of the spiritual world that's absolutely real. And you feel it. You feel it in different ways in different times. So if I were to say it, I would say that you shouldn't hit anybody with a stick either. But it's worse to call them names. It's worse to hurt them on the inside. So the idea that we're living in this physical and spiritual world, the spiritual world is constantly investing energy, Hashem is constantly enabling us to exist, and that energy that enables us to exist really defines who we are, because that's the spark of Hashem, so to speak. That's why it's not surprising to you that the neshama is referred to as a ner. Because you can have a very big flame, and you have little flames that draw energy from it, but it doesn't in any way diminish the big flame in the middle. So each of us is like a little spark of Hashem, but that doesn't diminish in any way the central force that provides all this light. And so how do I define myself? You're right, I can define myself by my physical body, but my physical body changes all the time. And then as it You know, some parts of it start working, some of it stops working, some of it does better, some of it does worse. But my inside, that's lenetzach and tzachem, that doesn't go away. That's always immortal. Okay, so if this is the background, then how do I understand this spirit someone mentioned before, this energy that is within me that comes from Hashem? So there is like a chain, so to speak. If we envision... If you envision like this is like a candle, this is the source of all the light, the energy, the neshama. What is Hashem? We don't know exactly what, we don't know what the Ribono Shel Olam means, what that is, but there's a source of spiritual energy, so that's the Ribono Shel Olam. And now we're here, down here, here's the person. Now the person, as we said before, we exist because we have some spiritual energy within us. So everybody has like a little spiritual energy. Now, how are we connected? What does that mean that Hashem created an individual? So there's a chain that connects every person back to the source that kind of, it's like a ladder. And the ladder goes like this. It has five steps in the ladder. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and then what's called Yechida. Now what these things mean, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I think maybe they mean. It means that every person deep down has this connection to the Almighty that becomes more and more refined as you get closer to the source. Because obviously, we are physical beings that has absolutely nothing to do with a pure source of spiritual light. It has nothing to do with anything. So how do you come from something that's completely spiritual to something that's physical? Everybody here, we all have a body that means we're limited. You know, my hand ends here. But if you're completely spiritual, then there's no beginning, there's no end. Right? The Ribono Shel Olam is above time and space. So somehow, in a way I don't understand, every person, this neshama that we have in us, has layers of depth that are connected on more and more esoteric and spiritual levels connected with Hashem. So the lowest level of your spiritual makeup, because we said we're two, we're the physical body, but we're also the spirit. So the lowest level, the level that's most close to us, is referred to as the nefesh. When people talk about the neshama, the spark of God, it's all of these things combined, but it's broken down into five different kind of parts. So the nefesh, that's the part which is most close to us. That's maybe the most basic, and there's a discussion. Animals also, they have a living life source to them. So that's probably this low level here, which is the nefesh. Again, you have to have the life source that comes from God, but it's in a very, very low level. And then as you move up higher, you approach more and more fine and delicate spiritual levels of understanding of a person's deep down and inside. So ruach, that has the word, the connotation of spirit, and this is probably where we create spiritual development for ourselves. Then if you skip all the way to the top, Yechida, that's something that we have no concept of what that is. That's if you think about the name of Hashem, the first letter of Hashem's name is a Yud. Yud is like the tiniest, tiniest dot of a letter. So that represents like the smallest spark, which is a much bigger idea, not for right now. But this idea that there is something that represents the letter Yud, that means there's something in you that's literally connected to Hashem, and that is untouchable. That's like beyond reach. Nobody, no matter what happens in your life, you'll always have Yechid, you'll always have that connection to God. So this is the kind of the breakdown of how we exist, because we have this neshama, we have this connection to God. Now what does this have to do with Shabbos? So this is all just the background, because the challenge is that you're going to create a world. God creates a world where he says, I'm going to give you a soul, and you have to go bring godliness into the world. The problem is that if all of this light came into the world, there would be no place for all of us. So God has to hide some of the light, put it just a little bit for every person. But by doing that, you create a huge divide. You create a divide between the two sides, because on the one hand, you have, let's say, on this side, we'll say, you have the light, you have the world of the spirit, the neshama, and here we have all of this spiritual energy. But on the other side, you have the world of the physical, which is absent, it's hiding. which is hiding, and now there's all of a sudden a divide, because before you created the world, all you have is the spiritual existence. Now, wait a second, now we have a spiritual existence and a physical existence. So here's the big challenge. We are now in this problem that we're... I should probably put that in green. So now here we are, and we're kind of like living in two worlds. It's almost like the Ribbono Shel Olam himself is living in two worlds. Because on the one hand, we said before that God is always providing the spiritual energy for the world. If God didn't exist for whatever that means, if God didn't give us spiritual energy for one nanosecond, we would cease to exist. On the other hand, he's hiding. So which is it? Is God always there, or is God hiding? Well, the answer is it's both. God is there, he's always there, but he's also hiding. So what is our job, and this is much of what the Torah of Machshava and Torah Sesod is about, is to say, wait a second, we've got, our job is to break down this barrier and to be able to unify, to connect, to show that this world of the physical also has the light within. And then the physical becomes, in turn, a vehicle to bring out the light. All right, this is a basic concept in Hasidus that obviously comes from Torah Sasod, and it's called Yichud, bringing two things together. And that's so much about of what Hasidus and Torah Sasod is about. It's about saying, wait a second, what looked like a bifurcated existence, our job is to make it one cohesive unit. It's to make it whole. Generally, in Judaism, when you see something that comes in a pair, that's like a little key that says we have a job to do. Because we generally don't want things to be in pairs. Because everything, if it comes back to the source, God is the source of everything. It's all oneness. So when you have something that's in a pair, so when Chazal suggests that Gehenna was created on Monday, on the second day of creation, what are they trying? What does that mean, Gehenna was created on Monday? It means that all of a sudden you had one day, and on one day everything is one, and now you have a second day. Well, that, in a certain sense, that opens the door for saying, well, there's an absence of bringing everything together. There's a division where you're going to create something with the absence of the light. Make sense? So now, just to add one more layer, so how are we going to be able to create this yichud, this connection, where we take the recognition that God is always there and put it together with the fact that God is hidden? So that has two names. One is called Kud Shabrichu, that's the actual God that's all the time, and then there is Shekhinah. These are different terms, but the terms aren't so significant. It's the concept. So there are three ways that Hashem gave us channels that we could take this concept of bringing spirituality into the world and creating Yichud, and it can apply in three different realms. And it's usually referred to like this. Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. These are three dimensions through which we can bring Hashem, this light, godliness, into the world. Olam means in the realm of space. So what would be an example of the realm of space? So the Beis HaMikdash would be an example of the realm of space, where you bring godliness into the world, where the physical is serving the spiritual, and the spiritual is felt in the physical. And that's a place, of course, of unity, and that exists, that concept of unity, of ichud, of oneness, is very manifest. Nefesh, so that exists in the person. The person has the capacity to create this harmony, this unity in the world. And finally, Shana is time, the realm of time. And where do we find that?
Holiday.
That is the holidays, but specifically, let's say in the world of the Sfas Emes, the most powerful expression of this idea of Shana is going to be in Shabbos. Okay? Any questions or comments or observations thus far? So far, so good. So that's just an introduction to what we want to share in the next 14 minutes, which is an actual discussion about Shabbos. Because all of this goes into our mind when we're thinking about, so what is the point of Shabbos? Why do we have Shabbos in the first place? So if we think about the concept of Shabbos and bringing things together, bringing it back. So on one level, so I would like to think about this on four levels, if we can make it. One level is simply the fact that if we started with the fact that God, he creates constantly. He's the source of everything. Without his energy, nothing would exist. We go through the week thinking, you know, we're creating. We are builders. We are achievers. And that's true on some level, but we only do that in partnership. Oftentimes, you go through the week, and it's easy to forget that there's a partner in everything that we do. So we take one day, and we say there's going to be an Isser Malacha, there's going to be a restriction on working. So by doing that, all of a sudden, we step back and we say, wait a second, there must be something else that's motoring the world along. If it's not me, I thought I was doing something, but I'm not. So if it's not me, what is it? It must be God. And that's why the Isser Malacha on Shabbos has nothing to do with how burdensome work is. It doesn't have anything to do with how much exertion goes into it. What does it have to do with? It has to do with creativity. Because what we're suggesting is that the ultimate creative spirit is Hashem, is that spirit that exists within us, and that is what really powers the world. So therefore, for us, it's not so much about how hard we work, it's about what do we accomplish. And that's why the restriction on the Shabbos is on Melechas Machsheves. It's on work that is based on intent, which is for another day, but it's not surprising to me that when God created the world, which is, we're not going to have time for everything today, we could spend like a whole year on this one topic, but when God created the world, He created it in 7 days, so Shabbos is going to be seven, we'll get to it in a second, but when he did that, quote-unquote, work, for first it was, Vayomer Elokim Yihi'or, let me pay attention, let me have intent, and then it was Vayas, and then He did. So there's an element of meleches and machsheves, work that has intent. So on Shabbos, the only work that's prohibited is meleches machsheves, work that has intent. Because it's the idea of creative work that ultimately God gives all the sustenance. So that's number one. Number two, the second thing is that by not doing work, by focusing on that which is spiritual, we're able to get back, so to speak, to this original source. So we go through, like we said before, and we're going to, it's a kind of a parallel on this side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. Imagine that the person is here and the Ribbono Shel Olam, the source, is there, but the problem is that the way that you, like we said, the way that you connect is through this ladder. The problem is that the ladder is essentially like a series of barriers, says the Baal Shem Tov. We really have God deep inside of us. That's why sometimes when we daven, certain sense we daven, we look up, but sometimes we look down because we're finding the Ribbono Shel Olam inside of ourselves, deep in our neshamas. So there are many barriers. There are these like hurdles that we have to get through to become increasingly spiritual, to connect to God. So the challenge is, how do we clear these hurdles? Well, if you take time, stop focusing on everything else in the world, and you start focusing on, well, where am I really at? I need to get back to what really defines me, which is what we started with before. My neshama, my spirit, my essence really defines me more than anything else. So then Shabbos is going to be a time to go back to the source of who you are, to go back to the root of what every person really is, which is their soul, and to be able to start peeling away the 7 layers that block where we need to go. You know, it's like when you get the airline meals. I mean, not that there's something so gavaldic waiting inside there, but you know, you have many, many layers that you have to fight through to find what's actually inside that airline meal. So lahavdil elef alfei havdalos. Thank God it's not a good mashal, but I'm trying to think of something you have to get through. So you have to peel your way through these multiple layers. So one could suggest that on Shabbos, you're actually going back to the source by thinking about all the physical barriers, these different layers that are blocking us from getting back to where we need to go to begin with. That's what we're going to try to accomplish on Shabbos. So some have pointed out that maybe that's why we start with 7 mizmorim. When you start Kabbalah Shabbos, it's a practice that we sing 7 different mizmorim. Well, those different layers, those 7 songs, maybe represent each day of the week. Maybe that represent the steps that we're going to take to clear these hurdles, to get back to connect with ourselves. So it says the Holy Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev that the word Shabbos comes from the word shuv, right? To return. Because we need to go back to who we are at our core. We really are the spiritual side of things. We're amphibians, but the truth is that more than we are physical, we are spiritual. So number one, there's an Isser Malacha to recognize that the energy in the world is really coming from Hashem. Number two, there's an Isser Malacha because it gives us an opportunity to say we need to go back, we need Lashuv during this time to reconnect with Hashem. Now, there's one other way of looking at this, which is a much bigger picture, but we'll try to tackle that in 1 minute, and that is that we mentioned the fact that Shabbos exists in a seven-day cycle. So we mentioned once before that the number system that we have in most of the world is base 10, right? You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you start again at 11. Now, where did that come from? Why is that? So it's not coincidental, but that you recognize, humanity recognizes that there is a periodicity, there is this kind of pattern that once you hit 10, you've completed something. Your period is complete, then you need to start again from the beginning. So then you go again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, that echoes something which is much deeper, and that is that there is a spiritual pattern. Again, if we are amphibians, then a lot of the patterns that we have in the physical realm are also going to be following things that you have in the spiritual world. So it happens to be that there is a great significance to the number 10, which I'm not going to talk about, but within that 10, you can break it down, perhaps, between between 3 and then 7. Make sure to do this. So 7, that should be in green, but okay, no one's counting. 7 is really the pattern that our world operates in. Right? We have 7 days of the week, there's 7 musical notes, there's 7 colors in the rainbow, there's 7 Shemitah cycles, there's everything runs in the pattern of 7. That's why there are 7 lands of Canaan that we're going to conquer. But according to the Chumash, when Avraham Avinu was promised, he was promised 10. Because the full base, the full number, real Shlemus, as Maharal, is 10. But in our world, in the lower world, so we have 7. So the way that this works is that the patterns of 7, like the colors in the rainbow, each color, like if you speak to the guys in Home Depot, they will tell you, you want to color your room, you have to figure out what the mood is, right, that you want to create. Isn't that true? They tell you, if it's blue, it has a certain feel. If it's green, it has a different feel, right? I think that's Emes. I'm not into painting so much, so I wouldn't know, but I think that's true. So the idea is that every color represents a certain attitude, a certain emotion. Well, that emotion, the same way that if you have music, certain keys represent different feelings. So each of these little dots here on our picture represent a specific energy that comes into the world, and that is the source of all the patterns. Because if we're amphibians and we're living in both worlds, then the patterns are going to have parallels on both sides. So the spiritual pattern that exists for the number 7 down here is going to be kind of a matrix of different aspects that come into the world. And that's why Shabbos, which is going to be number 7, is the seventh day, is going to be the concept that has something to do with 7. I'm watching the clock because we have Tehillim for the women at 8 minutes and Kol Vav for the boys, so we may have to cut it a little bit short. But on one foot, if we're talking about 7 aspects, so we could spend a lot more time. We've mentioned this book many, many times, Flames of Faith. He has a whole exposition of this for even the layperson like me and you that we can understand. These 7 aspects, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, they're going to fit in this puzzle. And I'm really not doing this justice. We could spend the whole morning just on this. But the idea that, wait a second, each of these represents a different feeling, a different attitude, a different energy, a different way of looking at things. So these are representative of these different concepts. But on the bottom, you notice there's one here. This is on the right, left, center, right, left, center. And then on the bottom, the 7th one is just in the middle. It kind of brings everything together. So there's a tradition, and Rav Shimshon Pinkus in the Sefer Shabbos Malchus that develops this idea at length, that, wait a second, when you talk about Malchus, which is why Shabbos is called the queen, the idea is that you can have a person who has many different attributes, but if they don't have the capacity to actualize it, so then it just remains in potential. It never becomes real. So all of a sudden on Shabbos, the spiritual energy that may have come into the world through these different midos, these different attributes of God that fit into this picture of, let's say, chesed or gevura, which is also obviously can be manifest in these three realms of olam, shana, and nefesh. So let's say, for example, when it comes to nefesh, you have some people who manifest chesed a lot more than other midos. And then you have other people who manifest gevura, restraint, more than other people. But when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is ultimately the source of all the unity. It's all coming back to the root. So let's say for those who are Davin Nusach Sfar, who grew up in a shtibel, so on Friday night you say a little paragraph called Kegavna, that is actually is from the Zohar, and it's Raza de Shabbos, the secret of Shabbos is that it's Echad. Because again, the whole point is that it's supposed to come back to the source of everything. Well, on some deep level, all the different aspects of the world, which we can't talk about that exist during the week, on Shabbos everything comes together. So you know, there's an old experience that people sometimes mock, which has to do with gematria. Gematria is a kind of coded language of Torah that exists with a numerical system. And the problem is that people don't really appreciate this so much, especially there's something called the Mispar HaKolel, the collective numbers. You say, oh, we have a gematria, it's off by one. Don't worry, you can always add one. So it's like, oh, what kind of a joke is that? What does it mean you can add one? So he said, so Pincus explains the following. He said, look at this table here. This comes from, I don't know, ever Sam's Club or something. So how many pieces are in this table? So
if you count it, if you look underneath,
so you have a plastic top,
and then you have, let's say,
two side pieces and four bars on the side. So how many pieces is this table? Plastic top, two legs, two sides. Five pieces. So he says, but the truth is, it's really six. Because you're right, it's five pieces if you look at them as individual pieces. So it's two sides, two legs, and a top. But it's also a table. So that's the one, that's the extra one that you talk about, the Mispar HaKolel. So when you talk about Shabbos, Shabbos is, you're right, you take all of these aspects of during the week, but by putting them together, you've created more than the sum of the individual parts. So Shabbos is kind of unifying all of the energy, all of the ruach and the spirit that we have from during the week. And the last observation, with this we'll close, has to do with the candles of Shabbos. Now obviously now we understand why it is that if you want to talk about bringing in a day of spirituality of Shabbos, you're going to start with the symbol and the manifestation of the Ner. The Ner Hashem Nishma Sadam. So of course you're going to start with Shabbos candles. And now we're thinking about, wait a second, how many Shabbos candles do we light? So Me'ikar Adin, you could light one, but the Shulchan Aruch teaches us you're supposed to light two candles, Zachar and Shamar. So wait a second, what am I doing? Why am I lighting two candles? So says the Heiliger Reb Chaim Chernovitzer in his book on Shabbos called Sidur Shel Shabbos. He was a great Hasidic master. So he explains, he says, obviously the point is that through the experience of Shabbos, we take Zachar and Shamar, the positive, and then the restrictive aspects of Shabbos, and you bring them together. That is the goal. And there's a much bigger discussion, deeper discussion that we could have, but we're out of time. The whole idea of Shabbos being the time when we bring things together. We kind of create that sense of unity, and we get everything back to the source. So to summarize, we spoke about understanding the fact that we are amphibians, that there is a spiritual in addition to the physical, that we truly are at our core the spiritual beings, and that spirituality is going to be manifest in this challenge of bringing it out into the world through these three avenues of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. And if you think about Shabbos, just on a very, very basic introductory level, so the fact that we don't do malacha, that gives us the time to recognize that Hashem is, that we are living this amphibious existence, that Hashem is running the world, gives us the time to go back to try to dig deeper into ourselves to reach that connection to Hashem. It's a time when all the energy, all the creativity, everything that we do during the week, the different aspects somehow come together, which is not necessarily apparent to us on a visible level, but spiritually that's what's happening. And finally, just on one foot, the idea of creating that sense of unity being manifest, let's say, for example, through the Shabbos candles. That's Motzoi Shabbos. What happens? Motzoi Shabbos, we take the Kavdalah and we create an Avuka. You have to take the two candles and you have to bring them together. That's part of the growth, perhaps, the experience of Shabbos, that creation of unity. So I thank everybody for coming. But hope this wasn't such a disaster. But,